A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. In the days when Christ was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Verbum Domini.
Deo gratias.
Save me, O Lord, in your kindness.
Save me, O Lord, in your kindness.
In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me. Make haste to deliver me.
Save me, O Lord, in your kindness.
Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. You are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead and guide me.
Save me, O Lord, in your kindness.
You will free me from the snare they have set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord, O faithful God. But my trust is in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. In your hands is my destiny. Rescue me from the clutches of my enemies and my persecutors. How great is your goodness, O Lord, which you have in store for those who fear you, and which toward those who take refuge in you, you show in the sight of the children of men.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Verbum Domini. A week ago today, we celebrated the very joyful feast of the Nativity of Our Lady. And today we focus on her sorrows. And this feast, this memorial, dates back to the 12th century, but it was Pope Pius X that decreed that it be celebrated on this day, on September 15th. That's very fitting, as Our Lady remains close to the cross, right? As we just celebrated yesterday, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. And we're reminded by the Church on this memorial that special union that Our Lady shared in the sacrifice of her Son on the cross. And the words of Jeremiah the prophet in the Book of Lamentations can be applied to Mary in reference to the sufferings of Christ. The lamentation says, "Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look and see if there's any sorrow like my sorrow." Mary went through the horrific suffering of witnessing her son's violent death. And we can see that her sorrow and anguish are even greater because of her holiness. The more a person loves, the more they identify with the sufferings of those they love. And the Catechism teaches that Mary was associated more intimately than any other person in the mystery of Christ's redemptive suffering. One of the options for today's gospel is the prophecy of Simeon, that a sword would pierce Mary's soul so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This is often depicted in images or statues of Our Lady of Sorrows, where there's either a sword, one sword, or seven swords that are piercing her heart. Those seven swords symbolize the seven sorrows of Our Lady, which included the prophecy of Simeon in the temple, the flight into Egypt in order to avoid that persecution of King Herod, who sought to kill the divine child, the loss of the child Jesus in the temple, Mary's meeting of Jesus on his way to Calvary, then Mary standing at the foot of the cross during his crucifixion and death, her holding the body of Jesus after he is taken down from the cross, which we see depicted in the Pietà, and then finally our Lord's burial. And so these seven sorrows, they fulfilled the prophecy of Simeon, that a sword would pierce her heart as well, and they united her ever closer to her son as she responded to them with love and trust, as she showed in the Annunciation, "Let it be done to me according to your word." Right? We want to follow that example. The spiritual writer, Father Adolf Tankery, explained that when the soldiers strike the body of Christ, it is as if Mary is subjected to every blow. When they pierce his head with thorns, Our Lady feels their sheer penetration. When the same men offer him gall and vinegar, the Blessed Mother tastes all the bitterness. As they spread his body on the cross, Mary is torn from within. And the second option for today's gospel is the one we heard, and that's from St. John's Gospel, of Our Lady standing at the foot of the cross. This is reflected further in the sequence that we just heard before the gospel. It's called the Stabat Mater, which means the mother stood. Mary stood at the foot of the cross. She remained constantly united to Jesus in his suffering on Calvary. She was not brought to despair by the suffering of her son. St. John Henry Newman would express that Mary did not grovel in the dust, but she stood upright to receive the blows, the stabs, which the long passion of her son inflicted upon her at every moment. She showed great strength and courage as she stood lovingly beneath the cross of her son. Pope Pius IX contrasted the example of Our Lady with that of Hagar in the book of Genesis. Remember, Hagar had been the Egyptian servant of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. And Sarah had insisted at one point that Abraham cast Hagar and her son out of the camp. We know that when Hagar and Ishmael were in danger of death due to a lack of water, that Hagar had cast her child under one of the bushes, and then she sat off at a distance, saying, "Let me not look upon the death of the child." So Pope Pius IX used that example from Scripture, and he'd say that Our Lady did not say, as did the mother of Ishmael, that she had not the strength to assist at the death which threatened her son. But as a courageous woman, she ascended the summit of Golgotha. Right? She was with her son to the end. The Pope said further, Mary most holy was standing with head raised at the foot of the cross. And while she heard the blasphemies of the soldiers, the ugly jokes of the Pharisees, the insults of the priests, standing and with her eyes turned to her divine son, she felt her courage redoubling even in the fullness of her sorrows, standing. The sword was piercing the side of the crucified Lord, and she remained a motionless onlooker. Not as weaklings who were assisting at the desolating tragedy, as if it were an exhibition, but as a woman meditating, suffering, and hoping. At this sight, the words of the aged Simeon came back to her, that dear child would be a sword of great sorrow which would pierce her mother's heart. Mary most holy was standing, and she stood firmly at the foot of the cross until the consummation of the great catastrophe. So as we continue this memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows that Our Lady experienced throughout her life, we consider how she endured those sufferings. Right? It was with perfect resignation to God's will and without complaint. It was in conformity to the will of God, and it was in perseverance and in great love to the very end. The spiritual writer Father Edward Lean said of Our Lady that God made her life, as it were, to consist in two streams of joy and suffering. And if we are to be true children of God, true children of Mary, if we are to be truly Christian, our lives must also resemble hers. There is no peace, no joy, no content for any soul that is not in union with God. And without suffering, without the cross, such a union cannot be attained. From the moment that Simeon uttered his prophecy, the sword had entered into Mary's heart. She knew that the life of her son would be a life of pain, of suffering, of agony, of torture, and of death. She passed her life in the shadow of the impending cross. We in our lives are sometimes called on to suffer the anguish and dread of an oncoming tide of sorrow. Let us turn to Mary. She whose soul was pierced by the sword of sorrow, she will know how to help and strengthen us. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to bear the cross every day of her life. Christian life is inseparable from the cross. So we ask this good and loving mother of ours to intercede for us today, to receive the grace to follow her example in accepting the cross, accepting the sorrows that come our way. The grace to take up our cross daily with courage and constancy and love, and to follow her son through the trials of this life on our way to the unending joy that awaits us in heaven.